Now, the rest of this sermon is going to be how we need to trust God to deliver us almost every day out of the things that are going to be coming upon us. Now, what I've been doing, I have been reading and recording the book of Psalms, and I just finished it yesterday. But in going through it, there are a lot of lessons that I learned just in reading from the Psalms, and how we need, I think, in the time of difficulties that are coming ahead, the time of troubles that we're going to face, we need to use the Psalms, study them, and know them, and build up our faith toward God. See, now, it's important we understand doctrine. That is true. But more importantly, we've got to have our relationship with God, and we have to trust God. Now, the New Testament, before we get to the Psalms, let's come to Colossians, the first chapter, and let's see the first one we need to be rescued from. Now, rescue is the word in the Greek that is a little more intense than deliver me. Okay? Rescue me. Colossians, the first chapter. All right, let's pick it up here in verse 9. And let's see also how we need the epistles of Paul tied in together with the Psalms. And these things are going to help us stay close to God and our relationship with God. Colossians, the first chapter, and verse 9. For this cause, we also from the day that we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. And this is the whole thing. Notice what he points to first. You keep your eye and your mind on the goal. Always. That's the most important thing. Okay? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. Now today, we can do that more than they could back then, because we have the whole Bible. Okay? Being strengthened with all power. Now that's what we need. See, there's a proverb that says, if you faint in the day of your adversity, your strength is weak or small. So we need to be strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, unto all endurance and long suffering with joy. Now, this is the attitude we need within. See, we have seen what the attitude is with the general population. God is going to judge them according to all the evil thoughts that they have. Okay? So here, this is important for us because God's special people are those of us that God is using and training and watching over. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has made us qualified for the share of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now notice verse 13. Very interesting, that's number 13 there. But anyway, who has personally rescued us from the power of darkness. And remember, Satan's going to be deceiving the whole world, and the deceptions are going to be powerful, and the deceptions are going to look so good, and has transferred us unto the kingdom of the Son of his love. Then it talks about the redemption that we have received. All right, come back here to Romans, the 7th chapter now, right at the very end of it. So the first one we need to be rescued from is Satan the devil. More than delivered, rescued, Romans 7. Let's pick it up here in verse 21. Now I will get to the sermons that will cover this, but unfortunately we have had the elections take place. We've had the correction of God brought upon this nation, and so those have taken priority. Verse 21, here's the second thing that we need to concentrate on overcoming, which is self. The world out there run by Satan, the devil, number one, and the problems within our own nature, the law of sin and death. Now, we cannot discipline ourselves to make ourselves better spiritually. But with God's Spirit and God's Word, we can strengthen ourselves so that God will be with us. See? Now, you can discipline yourself in athletics. You can discipline yourself in military things, etc. You can discipline yourself, but you cannot convert yourself with discipline. It has to be God's Spirit. Okay? Verse 21. Consequently, I find this law in my members, that when I desire to do good, evil is present within me. So we have to overcome the sin within. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law within my own members warring against the law of my mind and leading me captive to the law of sin which is within my own members. Now notice how Paul looked at himself, see? And we need to come to this point too. We cannot improve upon God. We cannot save ourselves. We must have the Spirit of God and rely on God the Father and Jesus Christ. So he says, O wretched man that I am. Now think of this. Here's a man who was an apostle for 20 years, wrote all of these epistles up to this point, and you can get the chronology of it in the appendix in the back of the Bible. Here's what many people consider the greatest and the most righteous apostle of God, who wrote more of the New Testament than any other of the apostles. What did he say? Oh, what a wretched man I am! Who shall save me from the body of this death? I thank God for his salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we work through God. God works through us to overcome sin. Because of this, on the one hand, I serve the law of God with my mind. That's conversion. That's with God's law within us. But on the other hand, with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. So anytime you sin, it is because of the sin within, inherent in the flesh. Okay? Verse 25. I thank God for his salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this, on the one hand, I serve the law of God with my mind, but on the other hand, with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. Now, let's notice something here very important that we always need to realize. God knows what we are of and by ourselves without his Spirit. But with his Spirit, this is to give us confidence and put us in the right relationship with God. So chapter 8 and verse 1. Consequently, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are not walking according to the flesh. That is, you're not just living your life as an ordinary human being in the world, okay? You still have to fight the flesh, but you're not living in that carnal way, but according to the Spirit. Now, according to the Spirit means this. You love God, you pray, you study, you overcome evil, you don't live in evil, you keep the commandments of God. All of those things are there, okay? Now notice verse 2, because here's what God is doing. Because the law of the Spirit of life, in other words, the way the Spirit works in our minds, in our hearts, and through prayer and through study, all the things that we learn, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has delivered me or rescued me from the law of sin and death. Now, he hasn't removed it. It's still there. It's kind of like you've been lifted out of deep water where you're ready to drown. The water is still there, but you are out of the water where it's not going to pull you down, see? And that delivery comes every single day. Now, here's something else, too, you need to understand. And this also connects with overcoming the sin within. The more you use the Spirit of God, and the closer your relationship is with God, you are going to find that not only are you led of the Spirit more, but you're also going to understand the vanity of human nature, the futility of the law of sin and death. You're going to realize that only God can save the world, only God can rescue you, and only God can make you righteous through His Spirit and through His mercy and through His grace. You understand that? Now, let's come back to the book of Psalms. Let's come to Psalm 37. This is quite a psalm. And I was thinking on this in relationship. Now, after the election, what do we do? You know, there are a lot of people who are hoping that, you know, Romney would win and Obama would lose. Well, it didn't turn out that way. Now, what do you do? So let's come to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Okay. Now, we're going to go through this verse by verse, and we're going to pick up a lot of things that go through many of the Psalms with many things very similar to this. Verse 1, Psalm 37. Do not fret yourself because of evildoers. Don't become frustrated. Don't become discouraged because of the evil that they do, nor the success they have in evil. See? And do not be envious against the workers of iniquity. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. See, here's what you do after you don't frustrate yourself, after you're not envious of the workers of iniquity. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. Constantly trust in Him and do good. Dwell in the land and cherish faithfulness. We're still going to have to live here. And you stop and think about what Peter writes concerning Lot and his frustration living in Sodom. Well, I wonder what it was really like, see? Unfortunately, he let too many things from Sodom also rub off on him. And he barely got out of there with his life. Okay, so here's what we are to do, see? Now, notice what we find in the Psalms. We find a pattern like this. It says, do not, do not, do not. Then it says, do. Then it will tell us the result. So verse 4 is do. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now that does not mean riches and wealth in the world. That means your relationship with God and eternal life. And remember, God is going to give us all the riches and wealth of the kingdom of God. All right? Verse 5. So you delight first in God. Verse 6. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Now, what do we need in times of trouble? We need protection. We need God's guidance. We need to be able to survive when there are difficult things going on around us. All of those, He'll bring it to pass. Things like that will happen too. Now, continuing. He shall bring forth your righteousness like the light, and your judgment like the noonday. And of course, that's going to transpire fully at the resurrection. Now notice what he says here, verse 7. All of these are things that you need to be doing in a positive way when there's evil multiplying and expanding around us. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. God's going to do it in his time. Again, he says, do not frustrate yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of him who carries out wicked schemes. Here's something else to not do. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret yourself. It only leads to evil. So ask yourself, when is it that you sin? Well, when you get frustrated and you do things you shouldn't do. When you envy the wicked. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Again, notice how he points out the whole goal of inheriting the earth. I think this psalm is absolutely fantastic. There are so many things here that can really help us in looking at the difficult days ahead. Because I know it's so easy to get so frustrated. It's easy to get angry. It's easy to let yourself down, let your guard down. So remember, we're going to inherit the earth and we are going to be co-heirs with Christ. Good point. Good point. Yes. Comment was made that when they hear the phrase, shall inherit the earth, you're looking at the earth the way it is. Well, you need to read Revelation 21 and 22. The earth we are going to inherit is the new heavens and the new earth. And we will live in New Jerusalem. So that's a good comment there. Just don't think about what you're going to get now. Think about what God is going to give you for faithfulness. It is but a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Yea, you shall diligently consider his place, but he shall not be there. But the meek shall inherit the earth. There it is again. He says this many times through. Over here, verse 29, just look at that across the page. The righteous shall inherit the earth and dwell in it forever. So that's New Jerusalem. On the earth, the new earth, okay? Now come down here to verse 12. You have troubles and difficulties of people against you? Pray about it. Ask for God to deliver you, to intervene for you, to help you, to stop the wicked. Notice, verse 12, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes against him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to kill those who walk uprightly. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Now, look at this contrast. Here's the final contrast of seeing that. Everybody in the first resurrection are resurrected to be on the sea of glass. And what are we going to see transpire after the things that are done on the sea of glass, like marriage of the Lamb and all of that? Okay? Receive our new name, receive our reward, and everything. We are going to be on this great platform looking down on the earth. And guess what's going to be gathering down there? Revelation 16. The nations of the earth to fight against Christ. And so we will see this happen. A lot of things in the Bible you need to project forward. Not only will it happen in some ways right now, but project forward when we'll be in the kingdom of God. I have had people against me that God has dealt with and have removed them from carrying out their schemes against us. I won't get into that, but God has done it. And always remember this, verse 16. Living in a very covetous society, remember this. Better is the little that a righteous man has than the riches of many wicked. And think about, you know, there was a program on lifestyles of the rich and famous. Remember that? How are their lives? How do they end up? Let's just take one famous family, the Kennedy family. How did that go? He made his wealth, Joseph Kennedy, by what? Smuggling in scotch and Irish whiskey. Okay? Had many children. Even one became president. But would you want to be in any of their shoes at any time? Think about it, see? Verse 17. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. He knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Now think about how many times he says, inherit the earth, inheritance forever, and so forth, see? They shall not be ashamed in the time of evil, for that is coming. And in the days of famine they shall be satisfied, and that is coming. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be like the beauty of pastures. They are consumed, and like smoke they vanish. All right, remember this concerning money. The wicked borrows and does not pay again, but the righteous is gracious and gives. And I think that explains a lot about the society we're living in and borrowing and taking and not paying back, etc. Okay? Now notice again, verse 22. For those blessed of him shall inherit the earth. There it is again. And those cursed of him shall be cut off. And what is that? I'm surprised the number of times in going through the Psalms and reading them, how there are verses like this, and those cursed of him shall be cut off, refer to the lake of fire. It says in one psalm, I didn't mark it down, but it says, and the wicked shall be given to the fire to melt like wax. Boy, that's the lake of fire. Okay? But notice this. Go back over the sermons that I've done. Can a man please God? Yes, we can please God. God can be pleased with us. That doesn't mean we won't have trials, because the trials and difficulties we face will then put us in a closer standing with God, trusting in him. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are made firm by the Lord. He delights in his way. Now what happens if he makes a mistake? Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. God is right there, plus the angels. I mean, I was thinking after the election, and like my son Jonathan came over the next morning, and he said, I turned off the TV after the state of Ohio was lost, because he was rooting for Romney. Well, we're going to be facing some difficult things, but don't let any setbacks discourage you. Though he fall, you may have a trial or problem. He shall not be utterly cast down. God is not trying to get rid of you. He's trying to improve you. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. Now, verse 25. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. May get tough. May be difficult. This reminds me of Elijah and the widow and her son, where Elijah stayed for 3.5 years, and all they had was a cruse of oil and I don't know if it was a sack of flour or a jar of flour or whatever it is, but they lived off of that for 3.5 years. So God is able to provide. Verse 26, all the day long he deals graciously and lends. Now this is talking about the one who is righteous. And his children are blessed. Now notice again how we have the admonition. Here's something we are to do. Depart from evil and do good, and live forevermore. So don't ever say, well, you know, it really hasn't been worth it giving up all these things, and you know, look at those down the road there, you know, they work every Saturday, they don't keep the Sabbath, and they don't keep the holy days, and look at them, you know, all of this sort of thing. Just stop and think, if that thought comes into your mind, just back up and say, well, I'll pray for them that maybe God will call them. Maybe God could, instead of condemn them in your mind, okay, and become envious, okay? If they don't, they're in God's hands, are they not? God will take care of them. But our concern is, how's God going to take care of me or you? So depart from evil, do good, and live forevermore. Promise of eternal life. The Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. And there are many psalms and many phrases in there. Oh, Lord, forsake me not. See? They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the earth and dwell in it forever. What's it going to be like living in New Jerusalem forever? Wonder what it's going to be like when, you see, because when we are raised from the dead, we're going to be the comparison between the birth of a baby to the resurrection falls very short, because we're going to be resurrected as fully developed, ready for eternal life. We're going to automatically, every one of us, be given a new language so we can speak with everyone. Okay? So we can sing to God, praise God, see all the saints, talk to them, all of that, see. I'll dwell in it forever. Verse 30, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom and his tongue talks of justice. Never get pulled down into derogatory language. Here's why. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. Now, we're going to have foes against us. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Pardon? Amen. Right there. Yep. Yes, indeed. That shows you how precious. Speaking of New Jerusalem, the comment was made, the New Jerusalem is the crown city, and the streets are paved with gold. Well, if the streets are paved with gold, how much better is everything else if that's going to be used for blacktop? Think of that. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way. So go back. I want you to take this Psalm 37 and go back and mark down all the verses that are positive things to do. Then all the warnings of what not to do. And then look at it from the point of view through the lens of the plan of God. And I think you'll derive a great deal out of it. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the earth. I think this is what, number 5 or number 6? Inherit the earth. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Now, I derived a great deal out of verse 35, because I was asking myself, now after you read all of these things where Obama is the most biblically hostile president we have ever had, and thinking of the administration and so forth that he's going to develop in his second term, and I read verse 35. So let's read it. I've seen the ruthless wicked in great power, spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was no more. So his day's going to come. The day of every high, exalted, evil person is going to come. And I searched for him, but could not find him. Now, look at the comparison again, see. Look at the comparison, because this tells you how God looks at us and what God has for us. Mark the blameless man and behold the upright one. for the end of that man is peace. But the sinners shall be destroyed together, and the prosperity of the wicked shall be cut off. Now, I think that applies directly to the lake of fire. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. And when is salvation from the righteous? Salvation of the righteous, when is that? At the resurrection. He is their strength in time of trouble. So if we can get any one thing out of this study today, it is trust God, keep his commandments, do what is right, don't be frustrated, don't let the world overwhelm you, don't let Satan get an entrance, don't be discouraged because God is there to help. It says, he is their strength in time of trouble. And of course, we're told in the New Testament that there's a time of trouble such as has not been from the beginning of the world. Verse 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they take refuge in him. So that's quite a psalm. Now, even though we've covered every verse in it during the time we've been studying this here, this deserves more study and more coordination with other psalms and other parts of the Bible. But what this will do, brethren, this is the way that we're going to be able to strengthen ourselves, fortify our minds, grow in grace and knowledge, use the Spirit of God, and survive the times that we know that are ahead of us, which are going to be very difficult times indeed. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.